Robert Rodriguez, my dear friend.
Yes.
How did you get started telling stories?
Okay. When I was a kid in New York City, about the age of 5 or 6, there was a radio show called Mr. I Imagination. It was hosted by a man named Paul Tripp, and one of the things he used to do was he used to play recordings of folk tales from different countries, Ghana, Haiti, Indonesia. Later on, I found out that these had been done by Folkways Smithsonian, and the stories had been collected by an ethnomusicologist collector named Harold Courlander, who has contributed many books to the storytelling community, either from West Africa, Haiti, Indonesia, different other different places. And I was 5 and 6, and I fell in love with Anansi, and I fell in love with Conchil the Mouse Deer, and I fell in love with Uncle Buki and Team Alice of Haiti. But I didn't know what they were. I mean, I knew they were folk tales, sort of. And then in 1969, I went to a storytelling, not a storytelling festival, but a folk festival in upstate New York. And on the day that was designed for children, they had a performer from UCLA named Jerry Cushing, who told Jataka tales from India and Wicked John and the Devil from Richard Chase. And I fell in love with it, and I was off and running. And in the early 70s, I was given a call one night by a friend in Pennsylvania and said, "Help! We need you down here. Our local storyteller seems to have disappeared, and can you come down and tell an hour's worth of folk tales?" At that point, I knew about 5. And I went down and told folk tales to an audience at a festival, and everybody loved it. So I was really off and running, and I've been running with it ever since.
You said that the one of the people that that you got stories from was an octotaka. What was that called? A big word that I was trying to figure out.
Oh, ethnomusicologist.
Which is?
An ethnomusicologist is somebody who collects traditional folk music from around the world.
Oh, okay.
He's a collector, but instead of collecting folk tales, he collects ethnic music.
All right. So how far have you traveled to tell your stories?
I have traveled to northern Canada, to Whitehorse in the Yukon, and to Yellowknife in the Northwest Territory. I've traveled all around the country to festivals, workshops, conferences, schools, colleges, libraries, hospitals, nursing homes, and other places where folkies gather. Because remember, I do storytelling also through singing ballads. And I have been to the Southwest, to Arizona and Texas, from California up to Vancouver in the Pacific, and to the United Kingdom, England, Scotland, and Wales.
For a blind guy, you've traveled quite a bit.
You know what? I never even think about it.
Well, I imagine you don't, considering you live with it all the time.
Yes,
but anyway,
very true.
Who is your favorite teller now, and have you met them?
I have a number of favorite tellers. One of my favorites is David Holt, wonderful musician, old-timey fiddle, banjo, hammer, dulcimer, jew's harp, storyteller, old-timey from North Carolina. I love him. I love storytellers who are also musicians. So I like the late Duncan Williamson, the traveler with a capital T from Scotland, who knew lots of ballads from the traveler tradition as well as traveler tales. The folk tellers, Connie Regan-Blake and Barbara Freeman, who were some of the first storytellers I ever heard. The late Marshall Dodge, who was, again, one of the first tellers I ever heard. One of my favorite storytellers is a ballad singer from Yellowknife named Moira Cameron, who comes from a musical family. Her mother and her late dad, Stuart Cameron, were ballad singers, and Stuart Cameron was a great teller of Scottish traditional wonder tales and magical stories. And I guess my other, favorite storyteller currently is my friend Fran Stallings from Oklahoma, who tells lovely nature stories, science stories, Native American stories, and stories from rural Japan.
What is your best kind of audience?
I like all types of audiences, although I really prefer high school kids, elementary school kids, about 6th grade, and adults.
What was the last group?
Adults.
Adults, okay.
Adults.
And what kind of real preparation do you do for telling your stories?
I usually try to find as many versions of a tale that I like as I can find from different places. Sometimes I may conflate. There's a fancy folklore term for combining. but when I usually conflate a story and when I tell it, I say this is a version that comes from two or three other versions, and I give the original sources where I can. I research as much of the culture as I can if I'm unfamiliar with it, and I try to find, as I say, different sources, different versions of the story. And then I just simply read or have read to me a number of stories, and then I simply go to work and memorize parts. I do not memorize entire stories with one or two examples of stories that I have told for decades that I can do word for word in my sleep, but I try to tell it as much in the flavor as I can with verbal variation.
That seems quite a bit of work, but actually, now my next question is what kind of practice do you do?
Practice. Well, I mean, if I'm doing a formal performance, as I will be doing in San Francisco in December in my Music of Story, Magic of Music performance, which is an integrated program, I will sit for at least two sessions equaling the time that I have, which is 45 minutes, and I will run through it silently first in my mind, going over the time sequences to make sure that I fit the 45-minute parameter. And then I will wait till I'm alone with no distraction, and I will do it out loud to time myself.
That is definitely a preparation.
Right.
With your sage wisdom of many years of telling, have you got any wisdom for new storytellers that you would use to encourage them?
Yes. Read, read, read. Go to the library, go to the children's room if there is one. Most libraries have nice children's rooms. And head directly for the folklore section, which is 398.0 to 398.2 in the Dewey Decimal System. And just devour every collection of folk and fairy tales that you can from different places. Try to especially research tellable tales that are readable tales that are tellable. Don't go for big epics unless that is your penchant. There are some people who are very specialized in doing epic literature, but simple folk and fairy tales, fractured fairy tales, tall tales, ghost stories, urban legends, anything in the realm of general folklore is, and if somebody is really interested, they should read, 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 and then after all that, they should start all over again and read, read, read twice as much. And just really, really become efficient and an aficionado and professional in the area of folklore, oral literature, myth, legend, etc., etc., etc. Talk to other people who are into storytelling and who have like interests. And in my particular case, as I say, one of my interests is the telling of stories through music. So I research a lot of ballad collections, and I listen to a lot of singers whom I like. And I don't copy any singers, but I listen to their repertoire, which helps me increase my repertoire.
Okay. What was your draw to come to the Chicken Festival given by River and Prairie Story Weavers in the Kansas City area?
In two simple words, Fran Stallings. I didn't know such a thing existed. I thought for a long time it was an urban myth. Fran, however, acquitted herself and told me, no, no, it is real. We get together and we sing chicken songs and tell chicken jokes and chicken fairy tales and ghost chickens in the sky. She has been telling me this now for 3 years, but for one reason or another, and especially because until 2 years ago I was teaching, now that I'm retired, I'm able to take off more time than usual. Unfortunately, in the old days, the middle of January was midterms, and it was very, very hard to take off that time to go. But now that I'm a recovering academic, as I like to coin myself these days, I'm much more flexible in my schedule, and I certainly will be coming lots and lots more. The festival this past January was the first, but by no means will it be the last.
And I've got one final question for you.
Just one quick thing I should ask. I describe myself as a teller of traditional tales. I would say 99.999% of what I tell are traditional tales, folk and fairy tales, animal fables, ghost stories, tall tales, tales from the American West, stories of clever women, clever animals, magical musical instruments, ballads, with an occasional original story, but they have to be very special for me. They have to be original stories, but told in the old style.
Well, that answers the question I was going to ask, and that was, do you make your own stories? So,
now, no, I do not tell personal tales. I have nothing against personal tales. I just feel that my life is either too weird for anyone to believe or just not interesting enough so that I would want to stand out there on a stage and bore anybody with it. I would much rather tell a folk tale, a fairy tale, a fractured tale, a tale from the American West, a reworked fairy tale set in the American West, that sort of thing.
Well, that pretty much wraps up our time.
Just let me close by saying that this has been a lovely interview, and you have been a lovely host and a lovely questioner. In the old days we would call them questions. As I say, when I think of storytelling, I think of some proverbs that involve storytelling, one of which was given to me by Penina Schramm. It says, when the heart overflows, it comes out through the mouth. That's a Jewish proverb. Another one is, good talk shortens the road, which is Irish and Celtic. And another is from Wales, and it says, may you be fortunate enough to possess the bard's blessing, the gift of song and story, and a heart full of love, wisdom, and understanding, and thereby hangs a story that will be told someday, somehow.
All right, Robert. Well, I thank you very much for the interview and your time in doing it.
Thank you.